Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is quoted as saying, "Every man has his secret sorrows, which the world knows not. And oftentimes we call a man cold when he is only sad." Depression, despair, despondency, dejection, utter hopelessness. Great theme for the morning, isn't it? I think it's kind of perfect for a rainy, stormy morning, as we probably all wanted to just stay in bed with the covers up over our heads. But not only are these real issues for our world today, and I believe part of the reason why we have such a high suicide rate, but we see Elijah, the great, amazing prophet, talented prophet of God, swallowed up by these same thoughts and these same things. How can that be? How could the man who told the widow that everything would be okay when she was facing starvation, who had showed such strength and conviction that God allowed him to raise her son back to life, the man who was so confident in God and God's ability, that 450 prophets of Baal were mocked and then slaughtered, and the people saw an amazing display of God's power? How could this man so quickly forget? How could he so quickly spiral down to the point where he's echoing the psalmist this morning? "Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me?" Well, Jezebel was furious. She was irate at the way her prophets had been treated and killed. And she spewed vitriol at Elijah and vowing to kill him if it's the last thing she did. And she had the power to do it. And yet, even after such a great display of God's power, in his human weakness, Elijah turns tail and runs. He escapes into Judah so that Jezebel can't get to him. But then he isolates himself, leaving his servants and going off alone into the desert to die. They say the worst thing you can do for someone who's having suicidal ideations is to leave them alone. Because then, all they have are their thoughts. And that will usually spiral them down further, because it's usually their thoughts that have gotten them into that place to begin with. And yet, when you're in such a despondent state, when you're in that place that just seems so black, all you really want is to be left alone. So here's Elijah. Alone, exhausted, hungry, and suicidal. As one commentator says, Elijah had forgotten the lessons God had been teaching him at Kereth, Zarephath, and Carmel. His eyes were on his own circumstances rather than the Lord. Yet just like Elijah, we get trapped by our own thinking, don't we? We get stuck in our circumstances to the point where we often see that there's no way out. We get so used to being isolated and alone, we feel that that's the best way to exist. Well, in the Jim Carrey movie version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which I don't think is as good as the cartoon personally, but I think that's by showing my age. Well, we're shown how trapped the Grinch is in his lonely life of depression and isolation. We see him lying in his bed, staring at the invitation he's received to the town's Christmas party. He's secretly flattered at the thought of so many years of living in isolation and going down and being part of the town again. And yet the Grinch battles with himself over whether or not to go. He's gotten so used to this life of seclusion, his bitterness. Yeah, he isn't sure he really wants to be back in society again. And so we hear him begin to make excuses. Oh, it's such short notice. Even if I wanted to go, my schedule just wouldn't allow it. And we see him kind of pick up his day timer and look through his schedule and start to read aloud the appointments for the day of the party. It goes as follows. 4:00, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5:00, solve world hunger, tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. Well, I can't cancel that again. Of course, if I bumped loathing until 9, I'd have time to lay in bed, stare at the ceiling, and slip slowly into madness. But what would I wear? You find that humorous in that we share sort of the same thing with Elijah. It's enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Now, Elijah kind of put himself in this situation. He did this in a couple ways. First, he allowed himself to have a very short-term memory of what God can do, what God is capable of. Then he isolated himself from a believing community and went off by himself. And he never really seeks from God what God might want him to do with this real threat from Jezebel before he takes off. And yet, in spite of the fact that Elijah kind of put himself in the circumstances, how does God respond? Does he respond with admonition and reprimand? No. Does he respond by telling Elijah to snap out of it and get a hold of himself? No. God ministers to his immediate needs. We're told that suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." See, God knows our limits, even as we need to focus on him. So off to Mount Horeb, where that would have kind of been the place associated with God's presence, as it's where Moses back in the day had met with God. So after being ministered to by angels, it's as if Elijah is trying once again to find God's presence, to once again reconnect in order to know what's next. And then God meets him with this rhetorical question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, Elijah is better off than when he had first fled from Jezebel. And yet he's not fully back into a place where God can truly use him. So God tells him to stand as he's about to pass by. And then it's a pretty mighty display, isn't it? Wind that crushes rock, and then an earthquake after that, and fire. And then I love the profound way that Scripture puts it. It says that when Elijah heard the sheer silence, he covered his face and went out to meet God. He heard the silence. Seems kind of like an oxymoron, doesn't it? And yet, in our frantic, busy, noisy world, silence can truly be deafening. I know when I go to the summer house in Maine in the middle of the woods, 3 miles from the nearest general store, 20 minutes from the nearest town, I can't sleep the first couple nights because it's too quiet. How often do we seek out noise? How often do we get in our car and our radio is already turned up? Or the TV's on even though we're not watching it? In some ways, we fear silence. And how often, by keeping that noise going, do we miss the very voice of God trying to get our attention? Now, if God had tried to speak to Elijah at the beginning of our verses, I imagine Elijah would not have heard him. I think he would have missed God in the noise of his own despair. Yet now, after it all, after he's able to quiet himself enough to see beyond the wind, the earthquake, the fire, he's able to see beyond the dramatic in order to stop and hear God speak. As I told the Bible study group on Wednesday night, that I think Elijah's answer to God's same question the second time has a different tone to it. Kind of a more humble attitude. He's kind of been able to put things back in perspective, to remember again who God is and what he's capable of, and now is able to stop and hear his voice. I kind of hear that first answer to the question of, why are you here, Elijah? It's more of an accusatory tone. Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they're seeking my life to take it away. Almost with an attitude, and you, God, haven't stopped it from happening. But now, I kind of hear it more in a matter-of-fact way. More sense of acceptance. God says, why are you here, Elijah? I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And yet now it's with an attitude of, and okay, Lord, I'm ready for what's next. God now sees Elijah is back in a place where he can be used and sends him on his way. Where do you find yourself today? Are you distracted, depressed, discouraged? Or maybe you are able to see God at work in spite of your circumstances. Have you allowed God to minister to you in whatever state you are in? Have you allowed other believers to come and help support you? To meet you where you are? To draw you to God? Or have you isolated yourself? Are you willing to stand by as the wind, the earthquake, the fire rages on, and listen to the voice of God in the silence? In the Teacher's Bible Commentary, the truth for today in light of this passage states that Elijah's discouragement after the victory on Mount Carmel is so much like our moods sometimes are. No one is immune from despair. God is always ready to strengthen us, encourage us, and give us a fresh vision of himself. It may not be spectacular. Listen for the still, small voice. Be ready to accept new challenges. Help prepare others to carry on. Well, I must admit that there are certainly days when my soul is discouraged. That I am tired. And I just do despair. And it is in those times and in those places that I have to stop and force myself to seek again the face of God. To force myself back into community and draw myself back to stop and listen for God's voice. I have a plaque in my office, which I look at often. And it has a quote from Psalm 46. And it simply says, "Be still and know that I am." See, it is most often in the stillness, the times when I allow myself to stop the frenzy that my life can be and sit in silence, where I can be reminded that my God is still there, that He is still in control, and He is so much bigger than my circumstances. And the same is true for each one of you. Amen.